Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Have you ever met anyone who claimed perfection? Unfortunately, I have. In the 1960s, I served as president of a life insurance company in Georgia. The board of directors and I considered combining our operation with a mutual fund from Pennsylvania. The president of the mutual fund was a woman named Sister Perfection. I do not wish to be hypercritical, but I know she was not perfect. I remember one time when she was stranded because of bad weather in Tampa, Florida. She told a pilot that she would cause the weather to become better so that she could fly to Georgia for our meeting. She believed her positive mental attitude could accomplish whatever she desired. She missed the meeting by many hours. Perfection indeed. John Wesley and many of his early followers believed in the doctrine of perfectionism. They believed people are saved when they repent of their sins and confess their faith in Christ. But salvation, in their view, did not result in sanctification. The person who is saved must receive a second working of grace, which they argued was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After their sanctification, they could no longer sin. So far as I know, John Wesley's modern followers, with few exceptions, no longer embrace that doctrine. How could anyone believe it in view of Paul's and John's inspired statements? Paul informed the Roman Christians, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 3:23. The verb "come short" is present active indicative and literally means continually come short of the glory of God. The Apostle John wrote, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." 1 John 1:8-10. Dr. Charles Williams' translation of these two verses takes careful note of the tenses of the verbs. If we claim we are already free from sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in our hearts. If we claim we have not sinned, we are making him a liar, and his message is not in us. As you can readily discern from the passages I have read to you, the Bible plainly and emphatically teaches the universality of sin. Paul quoted from the Old Testament to remind the Roman Christians of that fact. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." Romans 3:10-12. Does that mean we are born sinners? Our Calvinist friends answer in the affirmative, but there are some serious problems with that position. Did you take note of the language Paul used in Romans 3? They are all gone out of the way. They were not born sinners, or they could not have gone out of the way. They would have already been out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. They were not born unprofitable. And if a person is born in sin, how can he be responsible for his attitudes and actions? There is good news for sinful people, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Please listen to Paul. "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that which I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. The gospel message includes Christ's death as a sacrifice for our sins, his resurrection for our justification, and his coming again to receive us unto himself. But it also includes the commands we must obey to be saved and to stay saved. God's commands for alien sinners include believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Then we must grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.